Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Pre-Valentine's Day Eve, or Valentine's Day Eve, rather, February 13th, 2020. Hope everyone is doing well. Taking a little diversion from pro fighting on the podcast. Usually we talk about, you know, MMA, UFC stuff. You know, we did just wrapped up our year review series last month. And I want to talk about wrestling and some stuff that was of interest to me. Probably going to do a few of these over the next few weeks, because there's a lot of guys out there that are making some noise, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot about in the year ahead, especially as, you know, the content era, we are fully in it, and everyone's trying to get different talent and trying to get people to turn their way. Competition is huge, you know, between WWE, NXT, AEW, ROH, MLW, New Japan, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one off the top of my head, NWA, but you kind of get the idea that everyone is trying to get people to look their way and watch their products so they can get paid by these networks or streaming services or all that stuff. And there's a lot of guys, you know, you may think that the indies are fully depleted, but there is some talent out there. And one of those talents we're going to talk to today, I saw him in my local indie for Limitless Wrestling up in Portland, Maine. I've talked about that in this podcast before. Interviewed their owner, Randy Carver, last year, I believe, maybe a year and a half ago. You can find that in the archives. Anyway, so I saw this guy compete and wrestle in a few different shows. It was very fascinating, and has just grown and grown and grown with the fans there. Kind of did a little bit of more research and found out this is happening all over the country. And his name is Danhausen. Now, if you've heard of Danhausen, I don't have to explain him to you. If you haven't heard about Danhausen, I suggest you check him out, and may make a little bit more sense before you listen to this. But he is a guy. I was fascinated by his story because it was a guy that, as you'll hear about on the podcast, he started out as your generic wrestler, right? He was tattooed with a beard and was just kind of doing his thing, the uppercut everyone gimmick, and was the, I'm now blanking on what the name of, Kid Gorgeous, that was his name. And it was really just kind of the same wrestler you see over and over and over again, and was self-admittedly getting bored and decided to change things up and kind of throw a Hail Mary for his career and decide, hey, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to stick with this, I have to do something that's going to make me happy, and we'll see if this works. And if it doesn't, you know, c'est la vie. And it worked. And it is a gimmick that is, I want to say unlike any other, but it is very, very, very unique. So I guess it is like unlike any other, but it's fascinating. I've seen it work, in person rather. And he's been doing some stuff for ROH. He has a show coming up with Warhorse, I think it's Independent Wrestling Champion. I can't remember what the terminology there is, TV champion or something. He defends all over the place, works like crazy. And he and Warhorse are putting together a show called WrestleVania during WrestleMania weekend in Tampa this year. He's working, as you'll hear about, Danhausen was working four times in one day, maybe five times in one day on that weekend. So crazy stuff. So he's in demand. So for those that haven't heard of him, I wanted to introduce you to him and suggest you check out some of his work, especially if you can see him live in your local group. And then for those that have seen him, hopefully you'll learn maybe a little bit more about him. This is an interview, you know, short interview, just under half an hour, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And I'd keep that in mind. It's a fun character. So you'll actually hear from Danhausen himself, and also the man behind it, Donovan Danhausen, as well. So, enough of me talking. Let's get to the interview. Yours truly with Danhausen, the one and only. Also, no swearing. Keep that in mind. Drink your spicy water, and let's go now. Well, I am very excited to say we are joined by a special guest this week. They're all special guests, but this one is especially special. I have seen him in action several times for my local group here in New England, and was excited to get him on the show. Had to work some magic to get him here, because he's a special being, as anyone who's seen him has known. No swearing on this podcast, even for those listening at home. If you are swearing, I ask you stop this immediately. Because we're joined by the one and only Danhausen, and Danhausen is how are we doing today?
Yes, hello. How do you do?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be able to connect with you and to talk on this very fine day.
Yes, very nice, very evil day.
Very evil day indeed. Now, Danhausen, I was hoping I could speak to Donovan. Is that possible?
Hello?
Donovan.
Hello.
I
think it cut out.
I was just talking to Danhausen, and I asked to speak to Donovan, and here you are.
Oh, perfect. They cut out in the right time then.
The miracle.
There was the magic miracle cut out. It was just me now.
Exactly. So let's begin, because like I had mentioned, I have seen you work a few times for Limitless Wrestling in Maine, and was really just kind of fascinated by your story, and was doing some research on that. And those are the kind of things that I wanted to talk about, Dave, because you're obviously getting a name for yourself out on the indie scene and working for Ring of Honor and all these other groups and stuff. So I guess we'll start with saying, you know, from where you were a year ago to even, you know, a couple years ago, you kind of look back at this, you must be like, wow, it's pretty incredible journey.
Yeah. It kind of came out of nowhere, sort of. Like, it's a weird, like, process, because definitely 2 years ago, I wasn't really doing too much. I was doing good stuff here and there. And then a year ago, almost to the date, because, like, last year, Mania, I was booked on, I think, 3 shows, and 2 of them were, like, Battle Royal spots, where I wasn't really, like, I was just kind of there. And then 1 manager spot. And then this year, I think I'm on 12, 13 shows, like, in featured spots.
It's amazing. That's an amazing run.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
If that can, like, that's at base rate can sum up how different the past 2 years is.
So you were trained at House of Truth with Jimmy Jacobs and Truth Martini, and that was back in, I think your debut was in 2013, give or take, something like that?
Yeah, 2013. Yeah, I think it was September. I think online it says October, but there was a show before that one where I was in a handicap match and got beat up. So,
as all the good debuts are.
Yeah, exactly. I was Donovan Danger. How nice is that?
I know.
Danhausen was not allowed to be used.
So you started out, your gimmick or your tagline was Kid Gorgeous to begin with, right?
Yes.
So, and it was kind of like a shooter character, because I know you have like kind of like an uppercut everyone. There was a tagline there.
Yeah,
back. They kind of talk about
it
that.
It was more
a little
bit. My serious wrestling guy thing, because I think when everyone starts out, they want to be the serious, tough guy wrestler and just imitate who they like to watch. And I like to watch, Daniel Bryan and like Cesaro and guys like that. But obviously I'm not like, I learned to find out that's not my forte. My forte is what I do now.
So how did that come to be? At what point did you kind of, you're going in this route, and it, for people that, you know, if you find online like pictures of what you look at, you look like, I don't want to say generic indie wrestler, but you look like a lot of other guys.
No, but I look like tattooed beard guy.
Yeah.
Tattooed beard guy wrestler number however many. And then Edge a little bit. I look like Edge in the face, I'm told.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when I lived in Florida, I had a giant beard. So I looked like when Edge came back and he looked all raggedy. What was it like? I don't know how many years ago. This was a long time ago when Edge came back, but he had a giant beard.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same look. It came from just being bored with wrestling. I was like, this is fine. It's not fun, though. Like, I was traveling and doing shows where crowds were kind of like, he's fine. Like, he's good enough. And I was tired of being just good enough to be on the show.
And then, so how did this creation come up? What was the impetus? And then to talk about the start of that process.
It's kind of just getting like backed into a corner of wanting to quit wrestling and then deciding, hey, I'm going to be myself instead of being what I think is supposed to be cool on wrestling. Arguably like, what I do isn't cool, but I think it's cool and I think it's fun. So I was like, well, I don't know. My whole thing is like, who's the like toughest, coolest wrestler of all time, arguably? And most people would say Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go on TV and wear a tiny cowboy hat and play a little ukulele. So like, you just have to have fun with it and be yourself. And that is kind of just the catalyst of me wanting to quit wrestling, because I started to hate it. And I decided that I'm going to do whatever I want now. And if it works, it works. If not, at least I'm being true to myself.
So then, this character, for those that have seen it, actually those that haven't seen it, it's kind of like a, let's see if I can describe it. I'm going to try to do the best job I can.
Yes, let's see.
It's kind of like a, for those that remember and have heard of like old, like late night TV movies, they used to run like horror movies by like Vincent Price used to host this, and kind of, you know, the people that throughout the years have seen these, but it's kind of like this, you know, the late night creature feature type thing. So you have this look that's kind of a, it's a painted face, but it's like a hybrid of a vampire, but also kind of like some camp involved in it. So there's some humor involved, but it's kind of like a lot of these things mixed into one. How would you best describe it?
It's if Conan O'Brien was possessed by a demon.
Perfect. Perfect. What a great description.
I guess if that makes any sense.
Did you experiment with different types of face paint and things like that?
Yeah. Like when I first started, I tried doing the more, I was still like serious wrestler guys. I tried doing the serious horror thing and people started to gravitate towards that a little bit more. And I kind of just slowly evolved that into, hey, like these videos are taking too long and there's a lot of like time and effort that goes into these and they're getting an okay reaction, but like, it's definitely better than what I was doing. But there's still something missing. And then I think once I added the element of myself, like being humorous to it and not taking it too seriously, it stood out from the guys who tried to do the horror-based like wrestler thing, but try to keep it super serious all the time. But yeah, I started out when I didn't have the current face makeup. I was doing the band Converge, Jane Doe face paint, which is like basically essentially like a dead woman, but nondescript. Like, mm-hmm. I was doing that, and I did a lip makeup, and yeah, it's just kind of mixing stuff. And then I eventually found the Pazuzu makeup from The Exorcist, and I made it my own thing.
So I'm always fascinated by people that do the face paint. Did you learn how to do this by yourself? Did you just a natural talent? Like, how do you do this?
Yeah, essentially, like I just do it myself. It's gotten even like faster too. Like I can get it done in about 10-15 minutes now.
Wow.
As opposed to the hour that it used to take. But I grew up in like the haunted house culture with my father. So I think I got it from him. He didn't necessarily teach me how to do it, but just watching him, it just like kind of a thing that came naturally, was able to do it. I just understand how.
Haunted house culture. Tell me about that.
It's just growing up as a kid, Dad would help build haunted houses and like design them and everything. So I've been, just around that since I was like 7 years old. And then before that, just watching horror movies with them.
No kidding. So are you a big horror movie fan?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Have you heard of
like
this?
Horror and then the horror comedy movies I love.
So have you heard of this? I actually read about this a couple of months ago. There's a haunted house-esque place. I think it's down south that basically takes people to the edge of near death. And the residents, the residents of the town are like, yeah, they're basically just like, it's a fascinating story. I cannot remember what the name is at the top of my head, but it's basically like there's this 3-hour process in order for you to actually get approved to go, and you have a whole training thing.
And then they just torture you.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this wasn't like that. This was the more campy haunted house style.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, definitely not that.
As far as face painters and wrestling go, is there anyone that you've that was a inspiration to you, or that your favorite face painted wrestler of all time?
No, not really. Actually, like none of them inspired me to paint my face. It was just me wanting to do so. Really just like me liking horror movies and like comic books and stuff like that is what inspired me to do the face painting thing. Cause I wanted to look like a superhero or like a villain or like an horror icon. Like, it just wanted to stand out. Like that's really all, you know, like I'd say Surfer Sting looks cool. The Great Muda, you know?
Yeah.
Like those guys with a little bit of face paint. I don't know.
So along the way, yeah, go ahead.
No, that was it. Yeah, no one really. That's, I was just joking about that. yeah, no, none of the face painted wrestlers really inspired me to paint my face. I keep saying face my paint. but I'm a huge fan of Kane, so visually his face always caught my attention.
Yeah, interesting.
So Kane's mask inspired the face paint, if anything, more than the face painted wrestlers.
Interesting, huh? So along the way, there's a lot of different layers of this character you've created. There's the no swearing element. Which I saw live in person really play out. There's a wrestler for Limitless. So you're working called named Alec Price.
Swears all the time.
And it was done in a way I would not call you a comedy wrestler. And I know that some people
would.
Yeah. I think it is. It's fun. I would say you're a fun wrestler in that you don't, do not take yourself too seriously, but it's just, I think you just have to really see it in person in that it is, you just get it. I don't know. There's something about the crowd is into it. And so this Alec Price match, which may be on YouTube for Limitless at some point, or on Independent Wrestling TV at some point too, it's just, he's the foul mouth type, and the way you're able to work it in, it just absolutely brilliantly fit. So there was the no swearing bit. There's the teeth in the jar thing. There's the spicy, yep. the spicy water, line. and then of course there's the tequila, dance kick break. So these are just fascinating elements. How have you kind of just added these things in throughout, like suggestions from people in your life, just stuff you come up on your own. Like, how's that come about?
Sometimes it's just my own, the tequila thing came from having to wrestle at a bar and having no plan otherwise besides hopping on the bar and doing the Pee Wee Herman spot. that was kind of just like, hey, I don't know what else I'm going to do with this show. There's no ring. It's a bar brawl. Like, what am I going to do? The guy I was wrestling was PB Smooth, who's 6'7" or 7 feet tall. Like, what am I going to do to this guy? And I was like, oh, Pee Wee Herman him, if they let me. And then they were like, yeah, you can get up on the bar. And I was like, cool. Perfect. But yeah, everything's just bits and pieces from various shows here and there. And usually it comes from a smaller branded show or just a random show that hey, I'm just on this show. So I happen to be the teeth came from just a random show that I was on. It wasn't anything super huge. It was a smaller show. And then I just kind of take it and I stick with it and I roll with it.
So the bar shows, I've seen clips of some of this stuff, seem like during Mania weekend, or especially in New York, they seem to have a lot of those.
Yeah.
So I've always wondered this as someone is obviously trained in a ring and in a certain style, how does one mentally prepare for kind of just, I guess, wrestling in a bar without a ring and trying to be able to protect yourself so you don't get hurt and just some of those elements? I was just wondering from a professional standpoint, how do you kind of mentally prepare for that?
But I worked with Serpentico and then PB Smooth, and I knew they'd take care of me. And it's really just knowing who you're going to be wrestling, and that you're we can come up with something clever and fun for this that's not going to destroy our bodies. And that's really all it takes, is just knowing who you're working with. Mm-hmm. And knowing when to say, change stuff. So, and then reading the audience.
You recently started working with Ring of Honor, and I would assume it's unique because, with your character, obviously it's a very interesting time in the wrestling business. We'll get to that in a minute, but I was curious how the Ring of Honor deal came about and your experiences working with them.
Well, it's been great working with them. Everyone there has been very cool, very nice to me. And especially letting me do my thing. No one's putting any type of restrictions on me. They're like, go out there, be as weird as you can be. That's perfect. That's why you're here. So that's been great. Cause going in, I was like, oh, this is the company where all the wrestlers go. So I was worried about what I would be able to do. And so far I've been able to do everything that I want. So that's been super positive. That just came about. I was sort of local to the area they're wrestling in Columbus. I was within a few hours, and I was asked, hey, do you have this date open? Do you want to do a dark match? And then I showed up and they really, like, I think appreciated the social media attention that it got, that I was going to be on the show. So they moved me that day to a TV match for the television title with Shane Taylor. So, and then I'm assuming liked that match, 'cause then they asked me to come back more. So that's really all it was me making the most of like an opportunity. Mm.
And so are you basically kind of in their plans? Are you just kind of like, if they call and ask you to be there, you can be there if you have the dates open, or what's your arrangement with them?
Yeah, I think it's just right now that they ask me if I have a date open, I do it for them. That's kind of it as of right now.
Mm. So it's
kind of rolling with it.
Yeah, and I think it's a very fascinating time in the business, in that, you know, it's unlike even like it was maybe 5 years ago, where obviously AEW exists, but now groups are more like, people aren't really signing like exclusive deals other than if you're with, you know, WWE or NXT or something like that. It seems like people are sharing more. I think that's changed. It's changed so many things, because people can work in MLW and ROH and work in like AEW and MLW, then there's all these cases of this. So it adds a lot of flexibility, and as well, I would imagine a lot of potential opportunities for you down the road too.
Well, I would think so. Yeah. It adds a lot of cross promotion, which I think is good, because then it brings in fans from other sources.
Yeah. Especially they see you in one spot, and then all of a sudden you work for, you know, company X, and then you work.
Well, 'cause I noticed like a lot of fans in like Ring of Honor has a different crowd. So like a lot of them don't know who I am, but then they'll see me and go, oh, well, I'll go and check out these other smaller companies now.
Mm. Were you surprised at kind of just how, as I was mentioning Limits before, you know, how how you've appealed so quickly to certain regions or areas? And again, I haven't seen you work in a lot of different places, just in Maine, but you know, it's pretty incredible. You're not like pushed in like a main event spot with Limitless, but you've, in a span of what, 3 matches, have become one of the more popular draws coming in. You know, when Randy Carver, the owner, puts up the, you know, that you're booked for a show, the comments just blow up. People are so psyched to see you.
Yeah, which is really cool. It's so cool to see.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's definitely certain areas that get way more excited about it, but it's generally been pretty positive everywhere I go, which has been nice. But like Maine is like wild, Cleveland area, and then Crown Point, Indiana always seem to blow up if I'm in the area, which is great.
Nice. And merchandise wise, you have a varied amount of merchandise. When I was at that Limitless show, I was just kind of looking at people that had these kind of like these 8x10, images, that you, like, artist drawings or wherever you want to call it. It was a like, art.
Yeah.
You have a ton of t-shirts. You can get a Pro Wrestling Tees. It's this character has really kind of opened up the amount of merchandise that you've been able to do, which obviously is nice income to help kind of support.
It's nice, yeah, because it's my only job. So I kind of rely on stuff like that. I try to have like things that everybody can like, and I try to have things that will stand out and someone will want to wear in public and not just be like ashamed to wear it and just buy it to buy it.
Mm-hmm. So along with that, I was curious about Patreon. So Patreon is the thing that a lot of wrestlers, indie wrestlers have these days, again, as a way of kind of supporting themselves, but also to find a different way to interact with fans and so on. I haven't actually talked with any wrestlers about this, so I want to kind of chat with you about it. So, you know, you have this opportunity to be on Patreon and do this. How do you, how do you decide what to offer for the different levels and your engagement with it and all that stuff? It must be a little bit of pressure to try to kind of figure out, you know, how do I do this?
It's a lot of work. I'm still figuring it out, but I just tried looking at other people's, other wrestlers' Patreons and seeing what they offered at certain levels and trying to not mimic it, but make it my own version of it. That would make sense for me. So I looked at like Ethan Page's and I think like Jordan Grace's to check theirs to kind of see how they modeled theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like you said, I'm still figuring it out and trying to like tweak it to make it better here and there. But it's just a process. Like the videos are my favorite part of it, is putting out the video content, the bonus content. It's just like I try to put out as much as possible to make the money worth it to them, because I don't want them to feel like they're getting ripped off.
Right. And so you have this, and one of the I'm trying to say, actually we'll move on to WrestleMania. So Warhausen, Wrestlevania. You and one of my favorite things to see is kind of how you've interacted with specific personalities on the indie scene, specifically Warhorse, which is a very unique pairing, which is it's really a lot of fun. And actually, you two are putting together a show as part of WrestleMania weekend, Saturday, April 4th during Mania weekend. So tell us about how this came together and this very unique show. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it should be a ton of fun. Well, we were putting out content together anyways, and we had talked, hey, if we can somehow, this wasn't even for WrestleMania weekend, this is just us talking, like, hey, it'd be cool if we could get a show together. And Warhorse had the idea for calling a show WrestleVania. And then I would say about a week later, we were approached. We're like, hey, do you want, you know, a WrestleMania show for the weekend? And we're like, well, yeah, that would be great. And actually, we already have a name. And we proposed WrestleVania, and they're like, yep, that's perfect. So that's all that was Black Label Pro and Action Wrestling came to us. And we're like, hey, we want to present a second show, but we want it to be with you guys to kind of creatively be behind it. So we're trying to make it our own thing and trying to make it stand out from the other shows. So obviously Warhorse has the metal theme, and then I'll have the horror theme, and then we both have the comedy elements into it.
So one of the matches already announced, Ally Bat, also known as Ally Cat, taking on Shaz McKenzie.
Yes.
The loser is sacrificed to Satan.
Yes, yeah, of course. How would you have it any other way?
That's true. That's true. It must be pretty artistically liberating to be able to come up with ideas and fun stuff and not have it like rejected. That must be really kind of fun in this era to have that.
Yes. Also, like, most of the time I just put stuff out there, and if people like it. If they don't, they don't. I've been very fortunate though to where they usually do. Because, yeah, I mean, it's my character. I know how, like, my thing would work. So I try not to get too scripted with it on anything.
So you mentioned...
And most people have been good with, like, just being like, hey, you have free reign to do whatever you want.
Yeah. So speaking of WrestleMania weekend, you talked about this earlier. So you are booked all over the place. How do you...
Yeah.
Is there a... I was curious about this. Is there a limit to the amount of times you want to work in a given day? You know, physically, I mean, it must be obviously take a toll.
I think
on your
body. I'm doing 4 on Saturday, which is the same day as my show. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think I talked with Effie about this, where we're going to try to make each experience unique and not the same thing like all day.
Yeah.
I think the same day I'm doing Joey Ryan's Penis Party. I'm doing my show. I'm doing Fest Wrestling, and I'm doing, what else was it? I'm blanking now because there's so many. Glory Pro, so I'll be teaming with Effie. We're just going to try to make every experience unique to those fans, so that way they don't feel like, hey, I shouldn't go see them because they're on all of these shows. It's like, no, come see us at every show because everything's going to be different every time.
Effie's a fascinating character as well. He's really got this unique character, someone you also interact with quite a bit. He's a very unique character, and something that I think, again, it's just when there's so many different wrestlers doing the same thing, people like yourself and Effie and Warhorse and all these people are just doing, they're carving out their little niche and finding a fan base to come along with them.
Yep. Yeah. No, I've known Effie forever. So, it's really cool to see that happening for him. And I've known Warhorse forever too. Both of them around when I started. So it's just, like, nice to see us all kind of coming up around the same time.
So before I let you go, I want to obviously give you a chance to promote the Patreon I was talking about, different ways to interact with you, you know, other shows coming up. We talked about the WrestleMania weekend stuff and all that, but go ahead and promote away.
All right. So I've got the Patreon page. It's patreon.com/lovethatdanhausen. I put up exclusive video content of, like, a cooking show where I cook ridiculous things, a talk show where I talk to other wrestlers with exclusive interviews. And then I've got like a review show where Danhausen reviews shows, food for the first time that he's trying, like popular human food. So just stuff like that. And then there's like merchandise discounts and just bonus like content and stories from the road that weekend and things like that. And then I've got, you know, Twitter, Danhausen AD, Instagram, I believe, is the same thing. And then at prowrestlingtees.com/Danhausen is where, if you can't get a hold of me to get shirts directly through me, that's the best place to go to.
Excellent. And Donovan, can I speak to Danhausen for 1 second to thank him for being here?
Yes. Let me get him back on. Ah, yes. Hello. How do you do?
Oh, very good, Danhausen. I wanted to thank you very much for being here. And I also want to let you know, Donovan did not swear at all during the interview. I didn't either. So
yes,
we pay attention
quite
to the rule.
A good boy, isn't he?
He very much is. He very much is. So we look forward to seeing you all over the place in the years ahead, Danhausen, and we thank you very much for being here today. And best of luck in the future.
Ah, thank you, Hausen. Best of luck to you as well. Thank you so many.
Thank you, Hausen. All right, big thanks to Donovan Danhausen and, of course, Danhausen himself for stopping by. You can follow him all over social media, as I mentioned, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, rather, and also Patreon. And Patreon is something that I'm very fascinated by for the pro wrestling, the indie pro wrestlers and the wrestling scene in particular, because I wonder, and this is something I didn't ask, but I may kind of get into this on a future episode, is you know, for some of these talents, how much is too much in terms of how much they want to give themselves, in terms of just, from a time commitment standpoint, from a visual standpoint, with female wrestlers, they feel that they have to show, and even male wrestlers, they have to show more provocative pictures. Does that make them feel comfortable? Is it something they just have to accept and do? Is it kind of weird them out? That level of access, I'm curious about that whole world. And obviously, no one to throw shade on anyone that wants to earn money the way they want to earn it, as long as obviously they're good, healthy, everything's good, right? But you kind of wonder about that and whether or not they're kind of like, this is something that we have to do, maybe necessarily want to do, but kind of have to do in order to make ends meet and become full time pro wrestlers and not have to have a regular job and all that stuff. So. Just something that's always in the back of my head with Patreon and kind of learning more about it. So obviously you can check out Danhausen's very wholesome Patreon. Sounds very interesting and all that good stuff as well. I think that's going to do it for this week. Again, may have a few more of these in the weeks ahead. Just going to make some calls and emails and DMs and try to get a few more on. But there's a few I have in mind that hopefully will be coming to you later this year. So without further ado. Yeah, I actually host this podcast, everyone. With all that being said, thank you all for listening. You have a ton of choices in your podcast day. Everything is growing more and more and more by the day. And I appreciate any time that you spend with me or any of our fine hosts on WrestlingObserver.com. And thanks to Danhausen. Thanks to all of you. Until next time, this is Josh Nason. Insert catchphrase here.